Before he came, there was this great gulf between God and man that no man could cross. That no one, the law of Moses couldn't bring you from the unrighteous human to the righteous God. It took belief in the one true living God. But we, like humans, we needed something tangible. We needed somebody to see. So God said, I'll go. I'll manifest myself as a human. And I'll go. No human was ever able to complete the full law of God. That God said, I'll go. They'll call me Jesus. My station will be Emmanuel, God with man. Praise God. He came to fill a gap that no other human could come and fill. And he did it simply for the joy that was set before him. Amen. It was a joy for Christ to come. It was a joy for him to do the things that he came to do. It was a joy. It's hard to say, but it was a joy for him to lay his life down that we might have a relationship with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. Because of the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. Father, I come before you even now, praying, Lord, for words as I look over what I've written on paper. Father, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, I need to be able to convey to your people the things that you have revealed to me. Father, I pray that we could join together in the fullness of your word, Lord Jesus, and worship you, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. Father, I pray that you would move in this body in such a way that we would be willing to suffer the shame for the glory that's before. And Lord, I pray that you would do these works. It's something that we can't do in and of ourselves. Lord, it's only the things that you can do. So, Father, I'm asking you by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the authority of Jesus Christ, and in the name of the loving Father, Lord, allow us to see ways to make adjustments in our lives to glorify you in the fullness of power and glory. Father, we thank you for that. And we ask these things in and through the name and the blood and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Hebrews, this is just a quick verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, speaking of Jesus, he says, we need to look to Jesus because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus because he is indeed the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith. We need to look to Jesus because he is our example of what we need to do. Looking to Jesus. And it says, who for the joy that was laid before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to God. Amen. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Think of this. What was the joy? Was it the cross? No. Was it the torture? Was it coming into Jerusalem on a certain day? Was that the joy? Was it for the short time that the people threw palm branches down in front of him and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. Was that the joy? No. No, it wasn't. Look to your right and to your left. Look at the people sitting beside you. That was the joy. That's why he endured the cross. That you could have a relationship with the Father. He endured all that he endured simply because he saw you. And he said, this person, that person, made in the likeness of my Father, that person needs salvation. I will endure this hard time. Not for my glory, but for his glory. And as you look around you, church, you are the crown of his glory. Oh, people, I think that we've lost so much in our generation because we've left the majesty of God. We've left who he really is, and we cling to the thing that we think he ought to be. often leaving the Scripture in most churches, most pulpits today. They're preaching about palm branches and they're preaching about people. Some of them may even say those very same people just in a couple days from now will be crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him," which is true. The same people that laid down palm branches of their own making, palm branches, worship of their own kind, will just days from now be calling to crucify the one that they called Lord just days before. How many of us are like that? There's a song by Casting Crowns, "Something Happens Between the Altar and the Door." There's something that happens when we come and we understand our sin, we understand forgiveness, and we accept Him and we praise Him while we're together in this body and we say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I want to serve you while I'm in the shell." But what happens when you cross the threshold between the altar and the door? Are we willing to go through the hard times, enduring the cross for the joy that's beyond the cross? Jesus, He's our example, remember? That's what it tells us here in Hebrews, that we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the hard time. He endured the cross, despising its shame. But He pushed through. He pushed through. He endured. He went through to do the things that He needed to do. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7, that He gave His back to the smiters. In My cheeks they plucked off the hair. And I hid not My face from the shame and the spitting. For the Lord will help me. Therefore I have set My face like flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Did you hear what Isaiah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was saying? Jesus, He said, I gave My back to the smiters. And as I went through the crowd, they ripped out My beard. I took it for you. I didn't hide My face from the shame. When they spit on Him, He didn't cover up. Why? Because the Lord will help me. Therefore, I have set My face like flint. He would not be moved. He had to go to the cross. Regardless of the pain and the suffering and the problems that were about ready to be laid on Him, He had to go to the cross. How about us, people? Something between the altar and the door. Are you willing to go through the hard times to glorify Jesus Christ in this mortal body? Because Jesus Christ in His mortal body went through the torture and the torment for our rotting souls. It was for the joy that was set before Him that He did it. In Matthew chapter 23 and 37, He puts it this way. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I want you to put your name in that spot, okay? Listen to what Jesus is saying to you, and I'll use My name. Oh, Curtis, that killed the prophets and stoned them that was sent. You, how often I would have gathered you like My child, like children together, and even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and yet you would not. I believe that the times that we're living in is calling us to something that's demanding more out of us than just coming to church on Sunday morning. We're at a place in our time and history that we need to come to Jesus desiring to be covered by His wings. Oh, He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. But how often has Jesus said, come into My joy, come into My peace, die to the flesh and walk with Me. But we say, no, I would rather do My thing than your thing. Church of Jesus Christ, church in America. Are you willing to face? Are you willing to face the rejection of the world for the glory of the cross? Are you willing to die to yourself just a little bit to bring one person closer to the Lord you claim to serve. Church, my heart's breaking for us. My heart's breaking for this town that we live in, because there's so many people that are being deceived. There's so many people that are being pulled away from the truth and the love and the mercy of God into a dead and worthless religion. They're taking the Word of God and they're not really living it. They're not wanting it. They'll come to church on Sunday. They'll come to church on Wednesday. They'll come and take the things for free, but they won't give anything of themselves back for the joy of the glory that's yet to be coming. How many of us refuse to go through the pain to get to the glory? Lord, I'd love to do that, but it's going to cost me something, and I don't want to be burdened by the thing that you're asking me to be. So I'm going to stay on the safe side. I'm going to call myself a Christian. I'm really not going to believe what you say. I'm going to call myself one of your children, but I'm really not going to walk with you. Because it's hard to walk with you, Jesus. I want the prosperity of this world more than I want the prosperity of heaven. I'm storing up for myself a retirement plan, right? My 401k, right? Storing up myself all of this. But Lord, when you ask me to do the hard thing, to stand up in front of my coworkers or my family and proclaim your name, I can't do it. What if Jesus would have said that for us? Father, what you're asking me to do, to go to the cross, man, it's just one step too far. I'll accept the worship. I'll accept Hosanna, Hosanna. I'll come to church on Sunday. Oh, but when you ask me to get up 30 minutes early and pray, you know, I can't do that. Talked to folks yesterday. I'd love to come to church on Sunday morning. I'd love to come be a part of your body, but this is the day I need my rest. I got to roll over. I can't come. You know, it's just too difficult. For the joy that's... Why do we do this? Why do we do the things as a body of Christ? I do it for you guys, because you're the joy set before me. Jesus did it for you guys because you are the joy that was set before Him. Will we do the things that God has asked us to for the joy that's set before us? I may never really see the fullness of the joy until I get to glory. That's why Jesus told us to store up our treasures in heaven, where they can't be stolen, where a moth can't destroy it, where it can't be stolen from us. Instead, we're storing up treasures here. It's not going to last but for a moment. Well, it's easier to store them up here, right? Because we can see it, right? It's easy. But Jesus, He endured the cross as the author and the finisher. It was His joy that was set before Him. We are the crown of His glory. That was what was set before Him. So He looked past the pain for the treasure ahead. And if He's our example, should we not be doing that same thing? Looking past the hard thing to get to the good things that are on the other side. Oh, too many people, especially in the Church of America, quit before the victory comes. Right? I see that so often. Man, oh, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. Then it gets hard. And they say, well, I can't do that. So I quit and I walk away. And you didn't realize that the victory was right around the corner. You know, it was just a little bit further. It was pushing through, persevering one more day, and the victory would have came. But it got too hard. I just... couldn't miss. What's this basketball thing that's going on right? Fantastic Four, March Madness. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I couldn't miss Syracuse playing their basketball game to sacrifice to the Lord. I couldn't miss this thing or that thing because God wanted me to do another thing. I had to follow my flesh and not the power and the Spirit of God. Or I came to church and the pastor said something that hurt my feelings, so I can't go back. Have you ever heard that? How many times does that happen? You know, it made me mad. I ain't coming back. Well, maybe getting mad is what you needed to hear. Maybe you needed to hear something that would stir you up on the inside. I mean, we could always preach cotton candy and unicorns, right? And we'll talk about the palm branches today, okay? We'll talk about Hosanna, Hosanna today. We'll just talk about the fluffy stuff. But I'm telling you, folks, Christianity is not about the fluffy stuff. It has much less to do with the candy and caramel than it does with the blood and the splinters and the hammer and the nails. The hard things. He endured the cross to fulfill the promises of God. Yeah, it was joy that was coming. Although we get to the joy, he had to endure the hardships. And the same thing, he is our example, the same thing happens to us. We've got to endure the hard times to get to the hope that's laid before us. I'm excited that Jesus is coming someday for His church. I am excited someday that I am going to lay this carcass down. Amen. I am glad that this flesh is going to rot in the dirt. That sounds hard, doesn't it? Why? Because it's the glory that's set before me. Okay, there's nothing in this world that makes me hold on to it so tight that I don't want Jesus to come. Amen. There's nothing here in this world that makes me want it, desire it more than I want to go and be with Him. So what do? I press through from today until that day comes. You cannot quit. Amen? You can't quit. Just because it's hard. It's hard. I don't want to do it. What if everybody who had ever ran a race said the very same thing? 100 yard, what's a long race? 500 yard dash. I don't know. That's a long dash. So anyhow, and you run almost to the end. You say, I quit. Man, I quit. I too hard. Oh, I got a side cramp. It's too hard. I can't do it. You know, if you don't cross the finish line, you don't win. You've got to endure the hard times to get to the good thing. You'll never get the trophy unless you cross the finish line. You've got to endure through today and tomorrow to get to where you're supposed to be. You can't quit halfway through. You can't quit three quarters of the way through. Jesus couldn't quit at the scourging of His back. He couldn't quit at the covering of His face and being punched in the face. He couldn't quit at the spitting. He had to push through to the cross, and not just to the cross, to the grave, and not just to the grave, but to the resurrection. Amen? You got to persevere. You got to push through. You can't quit because it's uncomfortable. If you quit because it's uncomfortable, you will never taste victory. Amen? A lot of folks used to come to this, I'm going to stop right now. Okay, I got to stop right there because there's things I want to say that I shouldn't say. Amen. Anyone ever have that problem? Amen. All right. And so, as you can tell, I've grown quite a bit as a pastor because not long ago I would have blurted that stuff out. You know, but God, right? We cannot quit because we have not reached the end of the race. Jesus could not quit. He persevered. He endured not just through the punishment, but not just through the beard being ripped out, not just for the scourging on His back, but He endured the cross to the resurrection that we might have a way to make peace with God. Jesus came to this world. He was God made in the flesh, amen, just for the very time to answer the call Amen. He came the very day He was supposed to come just to simply answer the call. He came the way that He was supposed to come just simply to answer the call that He was called to do. He came to pay the price, answering the call that we could be the crown of His glory. He came for us to persevere. He came as our example to go through the hard times. He came because no man was righteous. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. He came to show you that, in fact, He told us in John 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in Me." He was preparing for the cross. He was about ready to tell His disciples, "Hey guys, I'm going to die. I'm going to die here in just a couple of days. I'm going to die not far long from here. I'm going to be nailed. I'm going to be rejected by the church folks. And I'm going to be nailed to a cross. I am going to be dead. A real death. But don't worry. 3 days later, I'm going to come up. Don't worry about that. It's all good. I've got to persevere. I've got to do the hard thing." For you high school students, stuff like that. Do you want a better grade? Do you want to do better in school than what you're doing right now? Amen? Do you really want it? What do you got to do? Your homework. Amen? You got to do the hard thing. Amen? Maybe you can't play video games quite as long. Amen? Maybe you just got to close out the world and dive into the hard thing to do that you can get the reward on the other side. Amen. You don't graduate unless you go through the hard stuff. Amen. You don't get the reward. You don't get the diploma unless you go through the stuff to get the diploma. You can't get to Christ without going through the stuff. You can't get to the victory that is held for you in heaven until you go through the hard times. He has called us not to a religion without pain. He says, if we want to enjoy the glory, we got to endure the suffering. Jesus, he set his mind to the past the cross, through the problems, into the glory of God. He's called us through the hard times. Praise God, we don't have to go through those hard times by ourselves, right? We have Jesus to go with us. He said, He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. We trust in Him today, and He will drag us. Lead us through. He's not going to drag us anywhere. He will lead you through the darkness of this life. He will lead you through the hard times of this life. He will never leave you in the swamp of despair. He will meet you in the middle of that swamp and bring you out. He won't let you, if you step out in faith into the stormy seas of this life, He will not let you drown there. Ask Peter when you get there. He stepped out into the stormy night and he had his focus on Jesus. Then he turned around, started looking at the trouble around him, and he started to sink. Right? The moment he started to sink, what did he do? Call for National Guard? No. Did he call for a life vest? No. He called for Jesus. And Jesus was there right then. But he had to step into the stormy sea to see the faithfulness of God. People, we need to, as the Church of Jesus Christ today, we need to be willing to do the hard thing for the glory that's set before us. We need to set our mind on the things above, not on the things of this world. We need to truly seek Jesus with the fullness of our heart. Well, you know that He has chose you for this very time. Do you know that? He had you born when you were born so that you could be alive today. And He did that so you could live through the hard times of today. He saved you to go through the turmoils of this life that He would be glorified in you. So what happens if you quit before you get there? What happens if you decide not to do it? Where's the glory go? Where's your reward go if you don't persevere through the hard times? What happens if you quit before you get to the end of the race? What would happen if Jesus would have said, "Father, this is enough"? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was praying and Peter cut off the ear, and Jesus said, "Don't you know I could call down legions of angels right now and we could fix this. We could do bam, boom, finished." What if Jesus would have given to the temptation in the wilderness and avoided the cross when Satan brought him up to the highest tower and said, to the worlds, I will give you all the kingdoms of the worlds if you'll just worship me. If he would have denied the cross, the very thing that he was born to do, if he would have denied the hard times, if he would have denied the cold and the hunger and the thirst and the rejection, if he would have denied that and went the easy way, we'd all be going to hell. All of us, because there would be no salvation. But he set in his heart to do the right thing. Church, we need to start making up our minds. We need to start making up our minds. Is coming to the body of Christ just something we do once a week? Is reading and studying and understanding the Word of God something you only do once a week? Is not Christianity called to be a lifestyle? Amen. It's a lifestyle. This is not a club that you go to like the Shriners Club across the street over there. That you go to once a week and you do your secret handshake and elbow bumps and stuff. And then you walk out and you do everything else that you do. That's not what we're called to. We are a body called to go through a certain time. This is your time. Paul told Timothy, as you see the day approaching, forsake ye not the assembly one to another. As you see the hard times approaching, we need to come together. And I don't know if y'all have watched the news or read a newspaper or pulled your head out of your own pillow long enough to look at America. We are in hard times. The judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is here. We need to be prepared to go through. We've got to stay together. We've got to have this focus of mind and of heart to go to persevere for the joy that's set on the other side. Because if you quit now, if you walk away now, you'll never really experience the fullness of God. If Jesus stopped before he experienced the fullness of the cross, if he would have, even as he was being crucified and they took the wine and the vinegar and were going to touch his lips with it, and the painkiller that they were going to give him that he refused, if he would have done that and not experienced the full weight of sin. But he turned that away. He said, no, I'm not going to take that. Take it away from me. I don't want it. I need the fullness. There's a joy that I don't want to miss one spot of it because I reject any part of the suffering that I need to go through for the salvation of the world. We in America, we're so stuck on not feeling any pain. I'd love to go through this, but I don't want to go through the trouble that it makes to get there. Folks, we've got to change our minds. We need to change our minds because our minds are stuck so much in the world that we're missing so much of the glory of God. Because we don't want to go through the uncomfortableness of it. Talked to a young lady the other day, and she said, I'd love to come to church. I'd love to come be a part of you, but this is when I get my sleep. It's 11 o'clock on a Sunday. Come on. You're not sleeping. I would love to come to evening service, but you know, there's the TV show that I really like to watch. You know, and I can't watch the TV show and come to church. I would really like to be a part of the youth. I'd really like to really help the youth. But, you know, I got to do things. There's stuff that I got to do. You know, God can wait. He's a patient God, right? He'll wait for me. I'm the Lord on this throne, right? I can do what I want to do. God understands. He'll wink at it for a while. I really don't have to do the hard thing because Jesus paid it all, right? Jesus paid it all, so I don't have to do anything. That's what the song says. Jesus paid it all. But they forget the second verse. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. See, we're all into the good stuff, but we're not into any of the hard things that get to the good stuff. And I say we, and I don't want you to think, church, that I'm picking on us. I praise God for the body that I'm involved in here, because we do have people that do the things that they're called to do, that are obedient and to the call of God. I'm concerned for the church of Jesus Christ. See, this goes out over the internet, and there are people all over the world that will hear this message. And I'm not getting you off the hook. Don't think that I'm trying to wiggle out what I've said. But I do want to encourage you that we do have this body we are blessed with by the Holy Spirit, because we do what we're called to do. And we are mainly, most of us are walking in the righteousness of God. Jesus said in that place in John 14, he said that he was going to prepare a place to build us a dwelling place so that we could be with him, right? And that's John 14 in a nutshell there. And it shall start, and that building, it started with just a few nails and a crown of thorns and an old rugged cross that he would be lifted up on. And whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Ephesians 1 and 4 puts it this way, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He knew who was going to come to him, right? He knew who you were before you were born. He knew, he's asking us. And 1 Peter, we just went through this in midweek. 1 Peter 1 and 20, he says that you were chosen. He was chosen before the foundation. Jesus was chosen before the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians 1 and 4, sorry, I got mixed up. In Ephesians, that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So God knew that there was a sin problem that needed to be dealt with. And he says, I got a man for it, or I got a body for it. His name is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. Okay, he will be born on a certain day at a certain time in a certain place. And that prophecy was fulfilled. And he would be born by a certain woman that had never known a man. We know that to be true, right? Amen. That's why we have Christmas, right? Okay, are we together on that? All right. And then there are several Passovers. And Jesus, he lived for 33 years and he did the things that he was supposed to do. And then all of a sudden there was a day, 173,888 days from the time of Xerxes to put forth the decree to build Jerusalem, which was May 14th, 445 B.C. That day, did I do it right? Amen. That day, Artaxerxes said, go and build the temple. You have the permission. You got the seal of the king. Go and do what you got to do. So on that day, Jesus rode in on a donkey that had never been ridden on before. That fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, that your Messiah, your Christ, would be riding on a foal of an ass, a baby donkey that had never been ridden on before. And he'd come into Jerusalem. And then they all sang in unison, Hosanna, Hosanna, which fulfilled Psalm 118, where they cried out that he was coming. So just in those three things, you see that God had a plan that he was working on to bring us to a right relationship with him. That we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that he put the cross right in the middle of this great void between man and God. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Anyone who believes in me. All right, and so we all understand that, right? We verbally say, I believe in that. I believe in that. But if you really believe in that, would we live the way that we're living? Would we only worship him on Sunday morning? If we really believed in that, would we only come for an hour a week? If we really, really, really believed, I mean, really, really believed that, would we not have a heart's desire for the lost? Because that was Jesus' heart. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. Amen? That's your neighbor. He's lost. Amen? Jesus came to seek and save him. But Jesus went to the cross, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. So how's he doing it? Through us. Amen? We are supposed to be the body of Christ. We are His hands, His feet. We need to be willing to go to the cross for our neighbor's sake. To do the hard thing for our neighbor that they might know the God that we serve. We need to be going to the cross for our family. Now, I'm not saying go to a literal cross because your blood can't cleanse nobody of their unrighteousness. But you are the representation of Jesus Christ on the earth today. You are His hands. You are the tangible church. Oh, but even in that, we're not willing to do the hard thing. To die to ourselves, to do the thing that God has called us to? Some of us might be thinking, well, I do all I'm going to do. Well, that's just the problem. You're doing all that you're going to do, not all that God has asked you to do. It's easy to do what you're going to do because that fits in your plans. That fits in your 8-hour day. That fits in your parameters. Well, I got news for you, folks. God don't work in your parameters. He's not really concerned about your borders. You know that? He has a higher plan. He has a better way. He has a desire greater to draw us into a greater understanding. He wants to show you more of Himself, but He can't show you more of Himself until you die to yourself. Amen? He wants to bring you in deeper, but He's not going to drag you in kicking and screaming. But if you'll do what He tells you to, if you'll walk where He tells you to walk, if you'll die to yourself and live to Him, I guarantee you, you'll know more about Him than what you know today. We have a nation in turmoil. Because the church has not done what the church is supposed to do. We have a horrible thing going on in America. And, you know, I don't need to point out all the little bits that are going on. You know what's going on. Why is it going on? Because the church has remained silent for so long. I'm not talking about the church buildings. I'm not talking about your religious affiliation. I'm talking about the blood-bought people of Jesus Christ have chosen not to do the hard thing. We've gone the easy way. We've been pushed around by every wind of doctrine and believing what Dr. So-and-so says instead of what Dr. Jesus says in the Word. Believing your commentary more than you believe the written Word of God. And I say that because I was guilty of that for a long time. Doctor this person, PhD that person, highly educated this person. And I followed their doctrinal beliefs without really digging into it for myself. Oh, but when I decided to do the hard thing, and you know what that was? Reading the Bible. Understanding what Jesus said, looking at the words in red, following the doctrines that were put out by John and Peter and Paul, and following those doctrines, then I realized that those folks with the PhD really just stood for piled high and deep. Amen? They didn't believe what they were talking about. Or they believed it, but they didn't go back to the original text to understand what they were talking about. It's good to say, once you say the prayer, you don't have to do anything else. Pray after me. Who here has heard that? Please find that in the Bible. Please. Pray. Paul never one time said, everybody pray after me and come up to the altar and I'll anoint you and all this kind of stuff and you'll be saved. He said, no, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, believe, repent? Wow. Okay. Those are the hard things to do. Jesus chose the hard things to do for the glory that was set before Him. He chose the hard things to do because He refused to take the easy way out. How about us? Let me ask you this. Have you ever made a gift with your own hands? Out of your own sweat and your own blood toiled over this particular gift. And when you gave it, those that received it with without a grateful heart, didn't it break your heart? I mean, you worked hard. I mean, you spent days, hours, you know, maybe splinters in your hand, shot nails through your hand, whatever. Say, I've done that before. Or you know, and you do that. There's your blood, your sweat, your hard labor in that gift. And they look at it and they treat it like a common thing. I believe that the church in America looks that way at the cross. God's hard work, His labor went into that. He poured His life's blood into that. And we wear it as jewelry around our neck. Sticky things on the backside of your car inside of fish's eyes. Have you seen that? We've lost so much because we haven't held on to the depth of what it is. What the sacrifice really was and why it really was. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For the glory that was set before Him. Why did Paul ask us to die to ourselves, to have our flesh nailed to the cross? Why does it tell us in Galatians to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Why does He tell us to do the hard thing all the time? Because the easy way has no reward. There's no glory in the easy things. Who here has received something for nothing? Amen? How did you like it? I mean, have you ever gotten a car that you didn't pay for? Didn't you trash it? Have you ever got something that, a toy that you didn't do any work for? Didn't you trash it? Oh, but if you just put a little bit of work into it, if you had to do chores to earn the money to buy the thing, didn't you appreciate it more? I'm not saying that you can work for your salvation, but I'm saying because you're saved, you need to do some work. Amen? Jesus paid it all. Amen. He took care of the sin debt on the cross. When He said, it is finished, guess what? It was finished. When He rose from the grave, He proved for a fact that He was God manifested in the flesh. No doubt in my mind for that. Jesus paid it all. But because He paid it all, He asked me to do some hard things for Him. Because He paid it all, He asked me to die to myself. Because He paid it all, He asked me to witness for Him. Because He paid it all, He told me to lay my way down and pick up His way, that I might have glory and treasures in heaven. He told me that I have to do the hard thing on this earth to gain the good things in the times to come. Oh, but we are so caught up in ourselves that we really don't want to do the hard thing. Why? Because it's hard. There's nothing easy about Christianity, people. There's nothing easy about this. Well, it's easy to go and do what I want to do because I want to do it. I tell you, if you really, really, really want to do something, doesn't it get done? Right? If you really want to do it, you make it happen. If you really, really want to worship Jesus Christ as God, you can do it. But you really, really got to want it. Why did God say you should have no gods before Me? You should worship nothing more than you worship Me. Why do you think He said that? Because He's a jealous God. What does the Church of America worship more than it worships God? The list is really long. It really is. It's huge. It's astronomical. If you really laid it out and looked at it, we are a pagan nation that calls herself Christian. Church, body of Christ, should it be that way? Now, I can't do anything in your house. I can't. That's between you and God. That's why Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I can't help what you guys are going to do. The law is on one side and your own flesh is on the other side. And you can choose today whom you are going to serve. You do God's thing or you do your thing. But today you need to make up a choice. today. In fact, even if you're saying in your heart of hearts, I'm not going to make a choice, you've already made a choice. Right? Jesus is saying, if you'll come to me, I will forgive you of your sin. He said in Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church. That was Peter's confession that you are the Christ. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you believe that? And it always comes down to believing, doesn't it? Do you really believe what you say you believe? If you really believe what you said you believe, would you be doing the things that you do? It's my question to myself. I'm not preaching y'all. I'm talking to Curtis Fitz today more than I'm talking to you guys, because I need to make a hard choice. There are hard choices in our life. Do I love somebody enough to offend them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I tell you, those are hard questions. And after Peter made that confession and Jesus said that was the confession that he was going to make, that he was the Christ, Peter, right after that, Jesus was telling him that he had to go to Jerusalem and that he would be in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. For the time came forth and Jesus said unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. But Peter took him and said, far be from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But when Jesus turned to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou servest not the things that be of God. That thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that are of men. Did you hear what Jesus said right here? Because Peter said, Jesus, you ought not go through the hard thing. Don't go to the cross, God. Anything but that. Don't die. Don't let him do that to you, Jesus. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. You just said you gave me the keys of heaven and hell. You gave me those. You said I got them. You gave me the power, God. So now I'm telling you, Jesus, I'm telling you, God, don't do this thing. Jesus looked right at him and said, you don't understand what you're saying. You're savoring the things of men, not the things of God. You're holding on to the wrong thing, Peter. Satan's making you do that. Peter. Satan has entered your mind and your heart. What are you talking about, boy? Come out of that mess. Jesus kept on saying in verse 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come up after me, let him deny himself. Let him do the hard thing and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my name's sake, for my sake, will find it. For what does it profit if a man shall gain this whole world and yet lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are we holding on to, folks, that is more valuable? What do you want more than the cross of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, take up your own cross. I'm glad he didn't say, take up my cross. Amen. I'm glad he didn't say that. But he said, Curtis, there's things in your life that you need to face. There's things in your life that you need to man up, woman up to, human up to. There's things that you need to die to, then nail it to the cross, die to it. Love me more than these things. So what if you hold on to the world and you gain every single thing that this world has to offer? You become more popular and wealthy than Donald Trump. I know I set the goal really low. So what if you gain all this stuff and you lose your very soul? What good would it do you? Are we at that place? You got to ask yourself, am I at that place to deny myself and to take up my cross and to follow Jesus? Do I really believe that if I choose to save my life in this world that I'm going to lose it? Do I really, really believe that if I lose my life for the sake of Jesus Christ that I'll find it? Man, do you really believe these words in red? Church, Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a particular day, fulfilling a lot of different prophecies. Jesus rode into Jerusalem and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh how you that killed the prophets, oh how I have desired every since Adam sinned, every since then, how I have desired just to wrap you up and to protect you with the fullness of my heart. But you've chosen not to deny yourself. You've chosen not to bear your cross. You've chosen the world over me." Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Do you really believe? Do you believe enough? I guess that's really what it is. Do you believe enough? I mean, we all believe that, right? I could question any. We all believe that. But do you believe it enough to do the hard thing? To bear your cross for the joy that's set before you? Do you believe it enough to die to the lust of this world for the glory of the world and the promise to come? See, it's by faith we do this, because I've never seen heaven. I didn't see Jesus. Like we sang in the song, I wasn't there. Were you there when he died upon the tree? Were you there when he rose from the grave? No. Do I believe that he did those things enough that I would deny myself to worship him the way that he deserves to be worshiped? Next week is Resurrection Sunday. This week is the day that we celebrate that Jesus came from the grave, victorious over the cross, that the debt he paid was enough to save us from our sin. Are we willing to do the simple thing that he asked us to do? To deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him? Sounds simple, don't it? Try it. I know the Bible only has one place where he says, "Test me in these things." And he's talking about the tithe in Malachi. I want to challenge you. Test him in this. Test him right here where he says, if you deny yourself, that you're going to gain your life. If you die to your lusts, then you're going to gain something greater than what you can ever gain on this earth. Do you trust him that much? For the joy that is set before you, will you endure the cross? Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the cross of Calvary. I'm talking about the cross that Jesus was talking about to his disciples right here in Matthew. Will you pick up your cross and follow Jesus? We must do as Jesus did. We must bear our cross. We must bear the shame and the reproach. Living our lives for His glory is the only thing that will ever produce godliness in our lives. We must, as a body of Christ, die to ourselves. As Jesus willingly gave us His all, joyfully gave us His all so that we could live. Are we willing to lose the temporary to gain the eternal? Great question. What do we really trust in? The things of this world or the things of the world to come? Is this life really real? Or is it all an illusion? I lean into its illusion. Okay? The only thing that is real in this world are the souls that need to know Jesus Christ. This pulpit is going to turn to dust. These papers, these words are going to be spoken today, and chances are they're going to be forgotten before you get in your car and crank it this afternoon. I say afternoon because it's 12:15. I know. I saw a lot of you doing this. Okay. I don't blame you. I talk a lot. You know, I'm sure that you want to get home. Are you willing to pay the hard thing for the glory that's to come? How many times have I asked that today? I'll tell you, 23 times. You can go back and listen to it. I wrote it down. 23 times. And I'm asking you, this is 24. Let me ask you one more time. Are you willing to do the hard thing for the glory of Jesus Christ? I can't answer that for you. And again, pray for me that I'll find a better way to end these sermons. All I can do is come to the last word right here, and there's a period there, and I stop. And the last word is this, that Jesus let go of this world to fully trust in the Father. He let go of everything. Jesus, we need to believe in Him and obey Him and live a life that is real to His calling. Jesus is calling us to joyfully go through difficult pains in this life to hold on to the promise of the resurrection. I can't make you do that. I can't make you want to do that. This is something between you and Jesus Christ. Do you really want it? Now, something I learned, this is new, and I keep talking. I said I was going to shut up. I keep talking. This is something that I learned from experiencing God. After you've heard the Word of God, what you do next will reveal what you believe about God. What you do next will reveal about what you believe about God. So I can't tell you what you're going to do next. I will say, tonight is a night of prayer. If you want to come and be a part of it, doors are open. We start, around 6? I'll be here at 5 o'clock, okay? If y'all want to come, I want you to come. And I didn't say this just to drum up Sunday night attendance. That's not what I'm saying. But it might be the first step of obedience that will draw you into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then God says, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. But if the people of God that are called by His name do not humble themselves, seek His face and pray. Praying is like sticking your head in a box. It's not going anywhere. You know, if we refuse to deny ourselves, pick up a cross and walk. Anyhow, amen. I love you guys. I do. I love you guys. And I want you to want Jesus. There's nothing I want more than you to want Him. I can't make you do it. So, Father, Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I thank You that You have spoken to Your people today. And Father, I pray that You would start a fire, Holy Spirit, blow across the coals of our dead and dying heart. Father, I pray that You would do like in Elijah's day, where we saw the dead bones, and You ask Him, can these bones live? And He said, Lord, only You know. And then You breathed Your Spirit across the dead valley, and the bones come to life. Father, I pray that You would blow Your Spirit across the dying church in America and that we would come to life. Father, I pray that You would speak to us as individuals and that we would set our mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. That we would be willing to bear our cross and to do the hard things, to do the difficult things for the joy that's laid up before us. Father, I pray that You would send an awakening. Oh God, You are my God, and I will praise You. Oh Jesus, do a work in Caledonia. Father, do a work here. Call the people who are Your people to awaken. Lord, and we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.